that the mind of Christ is to be in us. And we are to be conformed, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Now that process goes on, and we'll just take the picture of a young couple getting married, and they come from two different homes. And there's also going to be shades of difference in their backgrounds. But as they commit together to marriage, and they get the Bible out and read that Bible in the home every day, there's going to be a work of conforming, changing their minds, so that what they read in the Bible, what they learn in God's Word, will work in the husband's mind and in the wife's mind, and there will be that agreement. There will be that conform. As they grow together in the Lord, as they walk together in marriage, God will do the changing. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Golliver. And we're coming to part two of our program on the Christian home. What a great time to rethink and reestablish the principles of a Christian home. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, the pastor of the church, exhorting him to establish the church with elders and deacons. The qualifications of these men are that they should rule their own home well. And if they cannot do that, how shall they rule the house of God? That's really the application. And so every church needs believers, members who are living for God in the home, where everything's in place and where God is honored not only on Sundays, but each and every day of the week. And so let me read to you the exhortation of the Apostle Paul to Timothy for deacons. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let those also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. May the Lord today write these words on your heart as we come to minister on the Christian Home, part two. Number three, and this is a big one, and that is where biblical roles are fulfilled. Every Bible reader will soon discover that God has divided up roles in a Christian home. And I'm not just talking now about pink jobs versus blue jobs. You know, the husband, he cuts the grass, that's a blue job. And the wife, she washes the dishes, that's a pink job. The Bible goes a whole lot further than that. And there is a role principle that is laid down. And it's not something on the surface, because it goes way back to creation. And here is a principle for Bible interpretation. What God established in creation is for all time to the end of the world. God will never undo the principles of creation. He created one man and one woman. He created the man first, and he took the wife out from under his side, that he might care for her, that he may love her, and that they two together would be one. And that is an unchangeable law of creation. And it is the rule factor built right into God's revelation, both in creation, in His Word. And when you read through the Bible, you will see this coming up. Who is it that is the leader? Who is it that helps her husband? Who is it that takes that Bible and teaches in the home? Who has the role to be the spiritual leader in the home? God has spoken on these things and established them on the very basis of creation. Another beautiful thing that God has done is that He has taken marriage and made it a picture of Christ and His bride. And so if you read Ephesians 5, for example, what a great passage. Men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. That is a sacrificial love. That is a love without any question. And to a great degree, Christ died for His bride. And husbands are to love their wives sacrificially and to support them and live for them and even be willing to suffer for them. That is a tremendous sight. And then the bride, she is to love her husband and to recognize him. And for this purpose shall a man and woman leave father and mother, and they shall be cleave together and be one flesh. Christ and His church, the union that is between the two. That is a wonderful picture that God has established. And when you take away the roles, when you take away God's creation principle, you spoil it. You spoil what God has made so beautiful and so special. Now today, we face social, radical values where the whole gender issue is totally challenged. And this is an issue for the church. Should we have women in office in the church? Do we invite a lady to come and preach next Sunday in the church? I wonder how many here would come if I announced we're having Mrs. whoever come and preach the sermon next Sunday. You would say, boy, our church is taking a new direction. What's up? But it starts in the home. What we have in the church starts in the home. If we do not have clear roles in the home, it's going to get muddied in the church. And if you have a woman ruling the home and the husband not doing his role, failing in his role in the home, well, it's going to become a weakening of the church at the very least. Now, we're staying in 1 Timothy 3. Let's look at verse 2 here, and you'll notice what God has said here in His Word. A bishop then must be blameless. Now, speaking about a bishop, that's really about elders in the church, men who are leaders in the church. They must be blameless. The husband of one wife. Now, that term husband is biblical, and it's deliberate. It is not interchangeable. The Greek word is anor, for man. And the husband is the caregiver. He is the one that takes care of his wife, the husband of one wife. And you can see that that is his role. Go to Romans 7, verse 2. And again, we see that this is built right into the Bible, whether it's ruling the church, husband and wife, and all those issues. And it says in Romans 7, 2, that the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as she liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. And so you can see there that the husband is to lead, and he is to rule, just as Adam did when Eve was created. Adam was created first, and Eve was created second. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8, again, you will see this whole principle of leadership and headship that is built into the Bible. It says in verse 8, "For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man." And you can't make sense out of that passage if you don't understand the creation account, that it was Adam was created first and then Eve. And that comes up again in another passage. That's the passage, by the way, 1 Corinthians 11, that teaches about women wearing hats. And that's a subject for another day. We'll get to that one sometime. But there's a reason why in a gospel Bible church, ladies wear hats. This was something that was done in Christian churches up until recent times. This is not an arbitrary cultural thing. It's based on creation. It's based on this role that God has ordained. Now, modernists will object to this by saying that what Paul was teaching was based in either Greek or Roman culture. And therefore, when you're in the Greek world, you do what the Greeks do. When you're in the Roman world, you do what the Romans do. But we're not there today. Therefore, we do differently. What's your answer to that? How do you answer that modernistic mindset, that liberal notion that these things are cultural? The answer is, what happened in creation is for all time. We do not erase God's principles of creation, the order of creation, calling it merely cultural. The Lord Jesus brought this up in another area of divorce. And he said that in creation, God brought man and wife together. And in the beginning, he made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And so this is why this is an important matter. It's based on creation. It's not something that's just cultural, but rather it is the law of God from the very beginning. So what is a Christian home? A Christian home is where the husband plays the role of spiritual leader, where he will care for his wife, where he will support her. He's the breadwinner. He's the major breadwinner. He's the one who will take on the responsibility of providing and protecting. And the woman, she will play that complementary role. She will care for the home, care for the children, and care for her husband. And sometimes, like the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, she may have even methods of income that she can utilize, that she can help to support to some degree. That is not beyond what God has in store for women. Now, this role, by the way, is not sexist. It is not the patriarchal, chauvinistic, male chauvinistic attitude, but rather it is to recognize God's law, God's order, the way God creates us. And women, I know there are some exceptions that some women can be lumberjacks, but most women don't have the physical strength of men. Women have the burden of childbearing. It's natural that they care for the children. God did not give men the equipment to nurse children, but he did give it to women. And that's God's law and God's order of creation. And when humans are created differently, then we can start thinking about new roles. But every boy and girl that's born are born genetically programmed to be male and female, with the procreative organs of male and female. And that's God's order to this day. We would be fools to play with the roles that God has given. Now, that doesn't mean that women are any less in Christ. In fact, Paul makes much of this in Galatians. He says, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, male or female, all one in Christ Jesus. Your redemption is equal to my redemption. Your name is written in heaven as my name is written in heaven. There is no difference when it comes to our standing with God in the gospel in Christ Jesus. But ladies, we're different. Men, we're different from our wives. And to challenge that, well, it doesn't even make biological sense, never mind theological sense. So there is this recognition of roles. Now, husband, are you fulfilling that role? Sadly, I heard about a young husband. He doesn't go to work. He doesn't study. He doesn't clean the home. He's just leaving everything to his new wife. What a tragedy. What a recipe for disaster that's going to be unless God changes these things. And so we have to live with what God has programmed. So learn this principle and learn it well. And I believe it'll stand to us as a church, as families. What God has laid down in creation is not cultural. Say that over and over. Write it in your Bible if you will. What is based in creation is not cultural. It is the law of God for His people every time. Now, the next one is where righteousness is recognized. And I'll just give you my thoughts on this. Where everyone in the home aims for purity. We realize that God's a holy God. The Lord Jesus died to save us from sin, not to allow us to enjoy more sin. We are to be a holy people, a peculiar people. And that will be the desire of husband and wife. You want to keep that marriage pure. You want to keep your thought life pure. You want to be true to your marriage vows. And you want to keep out the filthy conversation of the world. Those things vex Lot. And they'll vex Christian families too. They'll burden you. They'll destroy the unity and the fellowship, the happiness of the home. There ought to be an aim for purity. And of course, that now becomes the ground for training children. A godly husband doesn't want to leave the home in the morning knowing that his wife is going to allow his children to watch television of any description and imbibe all the wickedness of the world. No, there's going to be a meeting of minds between husband and wife. We want our children to be sheltered from the unclean things of this world, keep it out of our home where we can, and strive by God's grace to aim for purity in training our children. And that will affect our TV viewing. It will affect many decisions about what we watch and what we don't watch. And our whole conversation's not going to be around Hollywood. It's going to be around what God would have us to do. And of course, a home with righteousness as our testimony before the world. I'm not sure how well you know your neighbors. It seems in Canada we're getting to know our neighbors less and less. And I blame the automatic garage door opener for that. I know what I do when I drive in my driveway. I click that garage door opener, in I go. And sometimes before I'm even out of the car, the door's down. And I don't interact with neighbors as much as I should. How well do we know our neighbors? How well do our neighbors know us? They do get to know us. They probably observe far more than we imagine. And if we live no differently from the world and from the ungodly, that gospel tract you're giving them is not going to mean very much. That invitation to church to hear the gospel is not going to mean very much. Our Christian witness, our love of righteousness in the home and purity will be our testimony before the world. What about when people come over, or family comes over, and we're just watching the ungodly things of the world on television? We're just doing and saying and living the same way as every other worldly person. How are we going to tell them that we're Christians living for God? That becomes an important thing. Then the last one, where rejoicing in the Lord is real. I just love those words of the Savior. My joy I give unto you. And I want my home to be a happy home. There's nothing that irks me so well as when misery is in the home and people are going around sad and disgruntled and out of shape and so on. Who wants to live in that way? A Christian home should be the happiest home on earth where we truly have the joy of the Lord. Now, we're all realists. We do have our tears. We do have our sorrows. We do have our heartaches. And some of them are longer than others. And bitter disappointments that come. And we might be sitting there in a daze trying to deal with the issues of the day. But underlying the living of a Christian is the joy of the Lord. One way to do that, of course, is the hymnal. We can make use of the hymnal. Homes where there is singing is a happy gospel Bible home. I've never experienced this, but I've read of times of revival in Wales and Scotland where God came and converted whole communities. And in the mornings, the singing of psalms would be heard when people were beginning their day. What a great thing to be heard from the home, singing and praises unto God. And of course, that unity that comes together cuts down the strife. It's not going to be an argument every time. It's not going to be trying to undercut your wife or husband, but rather it's going to be building them up and strengthening them. What a great home to live in. It's a little touch of heaven. And I want my home to be a place where there is that heavenly holiness, heavenly happiness, where we truly rejoice in the Lord. And in that, there's fulfillment. Fulfillment. That's why the Lord saved me. He saved me to be holy, and He saved me to be happy. Do you recognize that? God saved you to be happy. Not miserable. To be a peculiar people, a holy people, living in the presence and in the joy of the Lord. And that's a vital part of our testimony and our living for God. Now think of the alternative. The alternative to what we have learned here today really is rather unthinkable. To lose God's blessing, to grieve the Spirit of God and drive Him away from our hearts and our homes. It invites the tempter, the wicked one, the devil into our homes, where he will come and work his evil to destroy our minds and our faith. That becomes unthinkable for the Christian. I want the Lord in my home. I want it to be a place free as possible from the tempter's power, the work of the wicked one. And so your prayer will be, Lord, I want a Christian home at all costs. Whatever it's going to take, I want to have a Christian home. I want my husband to be a man of the book. And as a wife, I want to be one who supports 110% a godly husband. I want, if he's giving me biblical leadership, I want to support him with all that I am. And I want us to strive together for God's glory in our home. And it comes to our children. Well, there's no greater legacy you can give your children than a godly home. You might give them education, you might give them, equip them for living in this world in many ways, but if you don't give your children a Christian home, you might bring them to church, you might give them the catechism and give them some lessons from Sunday school, but if you don't give your children a real godly Christian home, you're doing them a disservice. No matter what else you give them, you might give them sports and recreation and skills of all other kinds, but if you don't give them a godly home, you're going to be undoing what God wants you to do as a parent, as a Christian. So, what is a Christian home? That's my take. And I believe is God's way, and that's what every one of us should be striving for. Pray for that. Pray for me as I would plan to preach now. And well, what does a husband do in a home? Maybe we'll make that a sermon someday. What does a wife do? What's the role of the wife? What does the Bible say about that? Maybe we'll take a time in that. And then, of course, when it comes to children, how do we raise our children in a Christian home? I think that's very important as well. And so these are vital. And I say it's vital because what happens in the home will be reflected in the church. How can a man rule the church if he doesn't rule well at home? That's Paul's emphasis. That's his slant on it. And we would expect elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, pastors, and all who serve to teach and work for the Lord in the church to have that. But what about your home? What about your walk with God? Let's pray that every one of us strive to have a Christian home. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I trust that you have been challenged and helped as I have spoken today on the Christian home. There could be no more important or practical subject for God's people than to have a home that reflects the gospel, the truths, doctrines and the values of the Word of the Living God. I hope that your Bible is not sitting at home covered in dust. I hope that it's not just under the television table, neglected while the world is imbibed through that TV. Well, let's get it out and let's get that Bible to be a real, true part of your home. Now, I hope that you picked up on the question of how to define what is cultural. This is one of the great issues of our generation, and there are many sides to the cultural things that people seem to divide on. How do we know what is the unchanging moral law of God, and what is the changing cultural things? The food we eat, well, that would be cultural. The way we dress, much of that would be cultural. But then there are things that are fixed and absolute. And these, we determine, are based on God's creation. When God created men and women, he created them male and female. And God put a distinction and a role and an office. When God created the week that we have, that's not just cultural. There are 7 days, no matter what country you're living in, and there is a day to keep. There is the Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, the day of rest. And so these things are to be maintained. And we could go on down. Head covering for ladies in worship is another. It's not based on culture. It is based on the very thing that God ordained at creation. And the role of woman, the headship of man, the headship of Christ, all of that is based on the eternal, unchangeable principles of creation. And so these things ought to be applied in the home. And there are those things that are absolutely right for mother, father, and children. Things that must be done, or things that must not be done. They are absolute. And then there are other things that might be preference. And so there is needed wisdom, guidance, and again, the Bible will give a true perspective in these things. So may the Lord help you as you seek to establish a Christian home. Now stay tuned for these following announcements. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just 2 blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.